All right, thank you, Rabbi Shabtai, and wonderful to see everyone for our last Kollel Shir of the Zman. Hardcore. You know, a lot of yeshivas don't go all the way to Tisha B'Av. Depends what yeshiva you go to. This Kollel of Boker Raton Synagogue, the Dr. Yitzchak Belazan Beis Medrash, is a hardcore Kollel. It goes all the way mamish until Tisha B'Av. A big yeshar koach to Rabbi Shabtai, who has pushed and made sure not to miss any of the weeks or any of the learning, and deserves a lot of credit for this and so much Torah that's learned, not only now in Boca, but around the world. Big yashar koach to all the sponsors. Today's sponsor, thank you so much, and Frolich Financial Group for sponsoring the Kollel throughout. It should be a great schus for our community, for our shul, and for Klal Yisrael. Last week we began a limud about the Tefillah of Nachem, Mirtz Hashem, that we'll all be in Yerushalayim together this week, celebrating the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but if not, we'll be sitting on the floor just a few days, a few hours from now, and we will be marking all the tragedies and calamities of the Jewish people throughout our centuries and millennia. And it will culminate, Mincha will rise, we'll daven Mincha, and we will insert into our Midah a paragraph that we say only once a year. And that's the paragraph of Nachem. Nachem, Hashem Elokeinu, Zaveh Litzion, Zaveh Yerushalayim, Ha'ir Ha'aveila, Ha'chareva, Ha'bzuya, Ha'shomema. And as we began last week, there's a lot of controversy surrounding these words and the question of whether today they remain completely accurate. These words are no longer a legitimate description of what Yerushalayim and its surrounding neighborhood area look like. Any person who's visited the modern Yerushalayim would never describe it as Aveila, Chareva, Bzuya, and Shomema. Mournful, ruined, scorned, desolate, and ruins. Yerushalayim is bursting at the seams. Yerushalayim has new neighborhoods cropping up on every mountaintop. Yerushalayim has award-winning hotels and resorts and restaurants. Yerushalayim has many kollelim and yeshivas, endless Torah being learned. Aveila, Chareva, Bzuya, and Shomema. So how can we with a straight face say this? So we pointed out, and again, we'll just review very quickly what we said last week and continue. We have a precedence in halacha that we're not allowed to offer a tefillah that's inaccurate. If a text of our tefillah does not depict or does not reflect properly an accurate portrayal of reality, then it has to be amended, it has to be changed. And that's why in the piyut, in the ilah, where the chazan proclaims, Hayom yifneh Hashem ha-shevov yifneh, navo ha-sharecha. The day is setting, the day is ending, the sun is setting. We enter your gate, let us come in through your gate. And Ne'il, the Shulchan Aruch says, should happen before the sun sets. In those days, or in certain places and communities still today, one is trying to get Birchas Kohanim in before the end of Ne'il. But the Mishnah Berurah chimes in, and the Mishnah Berurah says, Yizar lomar acharas hayom yifna shemesh yevo v'yifne kodem arav shemesh. You better say the reference to the sun setting before the sun sets. Dim lokein u'kedover shkarm lifnei Hashem. Because if you don't, it's as if you lied. So much of the Shaar HaTzion says that if in fact you get up to this stanza of Ne'ila after the sun has set, if you're in Bein HaShemoshos, you better amend it. Hayom pana, Hashemesh ba upana. Amend the text of this piyut. Otherwise, you're saying something inaccurate, and it's like Dover Shkarim Lefnei Hashem. Tefillah, which is supposed to represent our longing, our connection, our ambition to communicate with Hashem, cannot chas v'shalom reflect a lie, a deceit. So therefore, it comes along, Rav Chaim David HaLevi, the Tshuva's Asei Lecharav, the Sephardi Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, who writes a Tshuva after the Six-Day War, we recaptured Yerushalayim, reunited Yerushalayim, the undivided eternal capital of the Jewish people. Now we have the opportunity to stand at the Kotel, look up, Harabayis is Biadenu, even if it doesn't yet have a Beis HaMikdash, even if it sometimes doesn't feel or look like it's Biadenu in our hands. But look around Yerushalayim. When you're standing looking at the Kotel, if you look up, you get depressed. There's no Beis HaMikdash. But if you turn around and look backwards, and you see the old city bursting at the seams, you see my buddy Mati Dan, Ateret Kohanim, expanding beyond just the Jewish quarter, but to the whole old city, you look back and you say, this is not Aveila Chareva Shomema. Look at what's going on. So therefore, maybe Nachem should be amended. Nachem should be amended. And Asei Lecharav says it should with one word. We saw this tshuva last week. What one word? Shehayisa, that it used to be. And if you insert, if you add that one word, Shehayisa, that it used to be desolate and abandoned and mournful and ridiculed. If you add that one word, now the whole paragraph is accurate. And you've not violated amending something significant that was instituted by those who were significant, because Nachem only came afterwards. And we went through his whole tshuva, a few tshuvas. He responded to other people, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And that was his conclusion. Add the word shehaisa, that was all those things. Now the paragraph remains accurate. It's appropriate. He says the paragraph is not talking about a metaphysical reality, the absence of Hashras HaShchina. The paragraph is talking about a physical reality, and it's simply not true. And that's why it needs to be amended in that way. He feels strongly. We saw pages and pages of tshuvas and back and forth and back and forth. He wasn't the only one. Rav Shlomo Goren, the chief rabbi of Israel, in the Nusach of Nachem for Tzahal, also amends it. We see, here's the Nachem according to Aselech HaRav, and so on. Then we came to the tshuva of Rav Ovadia. That's what we began, and it's what we are up to. In Yechaveh Das, Rav Ovadia says the following. He says, first of all, Nachem comes early. Nimtza shegama nusach shatulas nachem amakubu biyadeinu midori doros yisodasu bahare kodesh adei rabbeinu anshe kenes tagedola. The Nachem is not after the authorship of the Amida. The Amida, sacrosanct, the Amida was able to capture all of our needs and our wants and our wishes, not only for all time, but all places, all languages, all people, all cultures. And when the Anshe Knesset HaGedola employed their divine inspiration to author the Amida, it must remain unchanged. They, with divine inspiration, were able to articulate and capture all of our needs and wants throughout all of eternity. However, the Aselech HaRav said, Nachem came later, it was added later, and therefore, it is a little bit more flexible. It's not as rigid, it's not as set. Rav Ovadia disagrees. And he contends that Nachem also was authored by the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. Rav David Avudraham, Kasav Bir Tfilas Nachem, Es Ha'ir Aveila, Hashem HaKasav Darach Yitzion Avelos. That when you would use the word Ha'ir Aveila, it's based on the Pasuk in Eicha. HaChareva is Yerushalayim Chareva Sharen Nitzos Be'esh, a Pasuk from Nehemiah. Nicham kochar voseha. Habzuya, the fact that it is ridiculed, is based on another pasuk. Kashomi mabubi baneha is based on another pasuk. So you see, miu zeh ve'ezer bedoros elish yocho laharchiv oz lesakin ulishanos minusach hatfila shenitzkan aydei rabbeinu hakadoshim. It's based on psukim. It captures the phrases from the great authors of Tanakh. And you're going to now amend it? You're going to adjust it? You're going to edit it? Who thinks they're so great? Who is so brazen and so bold? Who has such azas to Kedusha, even if it's holy chutzpah, to think that you could amend the nusach of Rabbeinu HaKedoshim? Asher Ruach Hashem diber bom, umilasa alashonam, that Hashem with divine inspiration spoke through them, uvechol teva v'teva chol oz v'oz shetiknu b'madbea brachos v'atfilos, and every letter and every word that they established and they set in the format and frame of our davening, genuzim bem sodos niskavim u'miflaim. Even if you, I think I made the same shameless plug last week. Even if you listen to or read the Siddur snippets so that you understand what every word means, you think you have access to what it all means? No, there are hidden allusions and references, the highest ideas and ideals. You have mystical teachings. It's all contained because they authored it with their divine wisdom. They embedded within it all kinds of things that we don't know. Don't mess with it. Don't ruin the formula. Don't alter it or you will compromise and corrupt it. V'divrei kachom yisodim al adnei paz berazon ilo'en temirin. Kama shakasad marna chida, the chida, Ruchayim Yosef David Azulai, b'shaaz tshuvas chayim shal, ki noda shebuchol inyanei tfilos benuyim yisodim al adnei razi olam, kama shenir mizohar kadosh, v'kisei rabbeinu ha'arizal, she'akom mesukon mesudu berkavonas el yonos. It's all firmly established. We don't mess with it. We don't mess with it. You know, the Siddur has been, it's very, very interesting. The Siddur has been at the forefront and central to a lot of the fights among different denominations in Judaism. To what degree are you willing to amend or change or edit what's inside? Other denominations, when they began to assimilate and they began to slip from devotion and fidelity to our loyal Masorah, they altered and they changed parts of the Siddur. They took this out, they took that out, this offended their sensibility, and this no longer seemed relevant and didn't resonate, and this wasn't politically correct, and this wasn't in a language which was accessible. Reform started to pray in German, and now in English. How dare we? How dare we, says the Arizal. It's all mesukun mesudar b'kavanas al yonis. It was organized and established with the highest levels. Now you'll ask, we still have Ashkenaz Svard, Eduta Mizrach, Nusach Svard, Temani. We have a million different nuschos, even within what we have, but they're all part of, and they all were part of the Mesora. Uvizen Navin Mashakasa, the Bragmar Brachos, Amon Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin L'Chachamim, Klum Yesh Bachem Adam Shadeh L'Sakin Berchas Aminim, Amat Shmuel HaKatan V'Tikna. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago, when we studied about the Bar Mitzvah. What does it mean to be a Katan, the innocent and the purity of a Shmuel. Only Shmuel HaKatan, who used to say, "Binfolei vecha al tismach," only a Shmuel HaKatan was the one who could be trusted to author an extra bracha. Otherwise, no one was entitled to interfere or mess. The Arizal's Yerzeit apparently was yesterday, so Schuso Yagin Aleinu, we mention him as a bracha. V'lechore yipole ha'gdoli Yisrael Rav Gamliel HaChacham Shebedor, ki mach chachma yizul sakin devar shtayim b'loshen kodesh. What is the big deal? All you need is a little bit of fluency in Hebrew. The great Rabbi Shabbatai could author a bracha. You need a little fluency in Hebrew. You had to be Shmuel HaKatan. Rav Gamliel the Chacham couldn't do it. El Shliyos v'chol oz v'os menisach ha-bracha sod shasu b'yichud v'ziv av midas ha-alyonas nafich ha-tzor ha-chacham gadol shiruch ha-kodesh shora alav l'chavin ha-dvarm l'fi sodan. Because this was going to be established and firmly fixed for all the generations. And it needed to therefore reflect that intent, the purity, the innocence, the accuracy. L'das pagam haminim v'amshachas ha'oros litchos yinikos ha-sitra ach v'chayotzei ba'odvarm ha-omdim beruma shol olam. These are the most lofty and heavenly ideals. These are so significant, they influence and affect the cosmos. It needs to be a Shmuel HaKatan. So that's the authorship of the Amida, that's the authorship of Nachem, says Rav Avadya. I don't care if it doesn't sound like it conforms to the reality that we see. We simply are not given license. We are not given the permission to amend. V'chein kasav ha'pnei Yeshua, Rav Yeshua Falk, v'chein Yeshua, v'chidushim l'brachos, v'chein kasav ha'gon Yaivitz, v'sefer Migdal Oz, what are you going to mess with next? You're going to amend the Ala V'yavo? You're going to change Ala Nisim? What's next? Nachem comes from the highest of places, and we are not entitled to amend it. Rav Avadya is identifying with, and he's validating where the sentiment comes from. Physically, Yerushalayim does not appear the way it's described in Nachem. We are living in, whether you want to call it Aschalta de Geula, Geula, or nothing to do with Geula, or Reishis Smichas Geula Seinu, or Tzmichas Geula Seinu, whatever you want to describe it. But these are incredible times, extraordinary times. After 2,000 years of longing and waiting, we are back to having sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh. Yerushalayim is expanding. Yerushalayim is central. Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. So Rav Avadya says, and moreover, we can explain the tefillah of Nachem without having to get too creative, as actually conforming and describing the reality of today. Where is Nachem is written about Har Tzion, about where the Beis HaMikdash was, Sheshamem, which is barren, Shualim Holchubo, where the fox travel. The truth is, says Rav Avadya, even in our historic times, Yerushalayim, the Har HaBayis, is still occupied, the part of Eretz Yisrael that really is occupied by people who don't belong there. Har HaBayis is occupied by those who hate us, by those for whom it's not even their holiest place. Do you know that the Arabs who are on Har HaBayis, they're facing away from Har HaBayis, they're facing Mecca. Har HaBayis for them is not even the holiest place. It is for us. And yet, a Jew on top of Har HaBayis is not allowed to bring a talis or tefillin. You can't bring a tehillim or a siddur. You can't utter the words of tefillah or you'll be arrested. You'll be removed. So when you talk about Har Tzion Sheshamem Shualim Holchubo, says Rav Avadya, that's still entirely accurate. Yes, Yerushalayim has all that we describe, but it also has idolatry and paganism. It also has other religions that don't conform to our view of the way the world should worship the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bekam kenasios tameos v'asha yidei kamreim manigam dam Yisrael nishpach b'may kamayim b'chol hadoros. You have, Rav Avadya doesn't mince words here or ever, you have churches, and church leadership throughout the generations is responsible for the bloodshed of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews. Usvivos hamikdash kvurim yishma'ilim. And you have Arabs who are buried around. Saviv Rishon Mishalechun. Ulcha Amis for Asim Naturally Kanas Naharabais Mishum Tumas Mace. And Rav Avadya is of the position, which is a difficult one to defend for another time, about whether you can enter Har HaBayis. There are parts that we know that you can go if you go to the mikveh first, but the general consensus of Gedolei Yisrael, although there are Gedolei Yisrael who do endorse or even did go on Har HaBayis, V'aravim machnisim pigrei maseim al makam al mukta shalana biyoser. So you see the Arabs, what they bring onto Har HaBayis, they desecrate our holiest place in the entire world. So therefore, the words of Nachem and the sentiment of Har Tzion Sheshameim, that Har Beis HaMikdash, Har HaBayis, remains desolate and absent Hashem's presence, is true. I told the story last week when Rav Schechter said that he looked up and he saw there's no Beis HaMikdash and he started to cry. Last year or 2 years ago, his son Rav Shai Schechter told me that he called his father with a shayla about the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av, and his father said, "Shai, would you believe that I have yet to chazer those halachas? I can't bring myself to do it because I refuse to accept that we're coming to another year. There's still no Beis HaMikdash." There are Jews who still feel that way. So a Jew who feels that way, a Jew who's excited not about the Waldorf or the plaza, a Jew who's excited not about the all-you-can-eat and whatever papagayos, a Jew who's excited to go to Yerushalayim because they want to get to the Har HaBayis and look up and see a Beis HaMikdash and they see it's absent. For them, Yerushalayim is still in ruins. It's in ruins. The most important part to be rebuilt is in ruins. It's lovely if the rest of it is beautiful. You know, it's like, God forbid, a person's home burnt down. So they you know, re-put the driveway and the walkway and they put the landscaping. That's all lovely, but there's no house. The ikker place to be, the ikker place to reunite, the ikker place to spend time, Yantav Shabbos, is in the home. The Beis HaMikdash is our home with Hashem. So it's lovely we have access to all of these accessories to the Beis HaMikdash, but they're accessories. The Beis HaMikdash is the home. So you have the landscaping and the driveway and you have the path and you have the shrubbery. That's nice. What about the Ikar Bais, the Beis HaMikdash? It's absent. So the description of Nachem remains accurate according to Rav Ovadia. And then he quotes from the Zohar HaChadosh on Parshas Vayetze. Pamachas Rochamiz Rebolaz Ben Arach Sheyoshiv Bocha. They saw him crying. Ukshenish Lafasha Adover. They wanted to understand why. Amar Ni Bochel Eben Hashasiyah Shebesof Beis HaMikdash. I'm crying. The foundation stone from which the entire world began, from which the world was created, upon which Yitzchak was scheduled to be offered, upon which Yaakov lay his weary head to rest, upon which the Kodesh HaKadoshim was founded. Why was he crying? It was anticipatory grief. He was crying because he saw prophetically that what? That this holiest space in which we have so much lure, we have so much memory of our people, would now be designated to bring corpses and desecration and violation. Says Rav Avadya, we've seen it come through true with our very eyes. Apparently there's some Arab practice to bring in a corpse and lie it on the foundation stone before it goes for burial. This is exactly the Nevuah. This is exactly what Rav Elazar ben Arach predicted and described. Imagine whatever shul you daven at. I know we have people from around, not just from Boca Raton, on this call, on this Zoom, on this learning together. So imagine your holy shul, your holy bima, you have such memories of Ne'ila, your bar mitzvah, your ufraf, of the aliyahs, of the loved ones, of the chazan, of the tunes, of what that shul represents, the simchas that you observe there. And imagine it's captured and taken over, and somebody on that very bima, on that spot, desecrates it, violates it, disrespects it. How painful, how painful. V'kachi b'sefer Chibas Yerushalayim. And similarly in Sefer Chibas Yerushalayim, let's turn this back now. Oh, the end of Rav Avadia. V'ikri Yeshuva Shal Yerushalayim Yisman Abayi Shal B'tzad Darom Shal B'yis HaMikdash, and so on. V'kama Bate Knesset Shal Tiferes Lameinu B'ir Atika, Odem Charevim B'Shomemim. So Rav Avadia must have written this before the rebuilding of the Churva. If you've never taken a tour of the Churva in Yerushalayim, B'mheir Aviyamin, we should all be able to travel back to Eretz Yisrael, and you should take a tour of the Churva. It's amazing, the story of the Talmidei Agra, and the first time, and the second time, and the tradition that the third time it would be rebuilt, then it would never be destroyed again, and it would be a precursor to the third Beis HaMikdash that would come with it. It's an amazing tour. It's a beautiful edifice, rebuilt. But before it was rebuilt, and still today, there remain ruins of shuls that were destroyed throughout the years, that were destroyed in 1948. The Jordanians. The fact that there are shuls in ruins, parts of Yerushalayim still in ruins, corpses placed on the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is there a churban, bizayon, shomema worse than that? So that's what we're mourning for, and that's what we're crying about. And that's the ikar zach. That's the ikar. Not whether you can go shopping on Ben Yehuda. Not whether you can go to the Yerushalayim Mall. Not whether you can go to that everybody loves, to the new restaurants around. Not whether you can travel to these fancy new hotels that are built. That's all lovely. It's all dessert. But the main course, the Iker Zach, is the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it's all about. That's where the Kedusha emanates from. Ukvar Amr Chazal B'Yerushalmi, Nyuma, Kodosh, Nivn, the Beis HaMikdash, B'Yamav, Ki'iluhu Chachrivo. It's as if we destroyed it. We're singing and dancing, and we're so excited, and we're so satisfied just to get to the Kotel. The whole idea of the Kotel was, even when you are exiled, and even when you are chased away, and even when you are oppressed and persecuted, the Kotel will remain. And when you look at it, you will long still to come home. But the Kotel was never an end to itself. The Kotel, the supporting western wall of the Temple Mount, was an illusion, is a symbol, is a signal. Don't ever give up hope. Don't despair. You'll come home. It'll be rebuilt. So you shouldn't be satisfied with just being able to come there. That today, even in Golos, even with Churban, there's still a notion of Aliyah L'Regel. And the purpose is to go and remember what once was, to long for it to be again. So therefore, Rav Avadya says that the paragraph is accurate. Don't say it doesn't describe reality. It depends which reality you're looking at. What reality are you focused on and emphasizing? Are you focused on the physical reality? Yerushalayim is rebuilt, and we have such hakar satov to Hashem. And by the way, this is the same Rav Avadya who talks about Yom Yerushalayim and Hallel with the bracha. It's not that Rav Avadya in his tshuvas doesn't see the religious significance of the explosion of Yerushalayim. Rav Avadya in his tshuvas on Yom Ha'atzmut and Yom Yerushalayim, whatever conclusions he comes to about a bracha, no bracha, but he talks about saying Hallel. Yom Yerushalayim Halal, with a bracha. Yerushalayim, we recaptured Yerushalayim. You know what that means? So if you contrast those tshuvas side by side, Rav Avadya's view is not some anti-Zionist view that, you know, we don't belong there and get out of there and Yerushalayim doesn't mean anything and there's still no geula and stay in Williamsburg. That's not his view, Rav Avadya. Read Rav Avadya's tshuva about Yom Yerushalayim. However, nevertheless, at the same time, simultaneously, it's also true to say that even though there are miracles, and it is religiously redemptive to be back in Yerushalayim, to see it expanded, to have access to it the way we do, still Nachem remains accurate. With all the other parts that we have, and with all the gift that it gives us, and all of the beginning that it represents, we still don't have Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Hashras HaShechina. Let me describe it to you this way. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us there were 10 daily miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. That meant that if you had doubt or uncertainty about Hashem, does he exist? Does he know about my life? Is he involved in my life? You went to the Beis HaMikdash and you witnessed those miracles and you were moved to know that he cares. You were moved to feel his presence. You were able to redeem yourself. You were able to atone for the mistakes that you made. You were able to get a vision of who you could be. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is now in hiding. He's inaccessible to us. The world is filled with such darkness. And in that vacuum of his hiddenness has emerged hate. And we've suffered from that hate for so long. So it's not just no Beis HaMikdash, it's not just no Korbanos, it's what that allowed, what that makes room for, what that enabled, and the consequences we still suffer from. That's what Nachem represents and reflects, says Rav Avadya. That's what we're saying. The spirituality in Yerushalayim today, as the Pasuk says, how many Israelis, how many of our fellow Jews, our brothers and sisters whom we love, who risk their lives, not only for Israel, Jews around the world, but who are ignorant of Torah and mitzvahs, don't even know. Do you know how many Israelis have never been to Yerushalayim? How many Israelis have never been to the Kotel? How many Israelis who aren't even educated about what Har HaBayis, what Beis HaMikdash means or represents? So the state and the status of Ruchnius, the state of dress, the state of morality, the state of parades, the state of things that happen in our holiest city, says Rav Avadya, utfilasen labor yisborach yishuv yinachamenu yichbosh avonoseinu, v'tzomach hamish yel beis yehud lo sason simcha modin tovim, and so on and so forth. He ends with a bracha that in fact we should be zocha to see the true nechama of a rebuilt Yerushalayim that includes Har HaBayis v'mehera v'yamenu. So Rav Avadya disagrees. He disagrees with Rav Herzog. He disagrees with the Aseh Lecha Rav, Rechaim David Alevi, and he disagrees, and he says, Nachem is perfect the way it is, don't touch it, because it's describing not a physical reality, it's describing a metaphysical reality, that with all the progress, and all the breakthrough, and all the halal of the hodah we have to sing to Hashem, we must still remain acutely aware, and we must remain mindful of what's missing, of what's missing. What was Rabbi Soloveitchik's position? Rabbi Soloveitchik's position on Nachem. So in Masorah, Tavshin and Beis, source 10, page 10, is an entry describing the Rav's position on Nachim. After the Six-Day War, and we were back, some said it's no longer accurate. It's time to amend it. Second paragraph. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, objected vehemently, vociferously, to any attempt to amend Nachim. Rashi's, first of all, Brisker's, in general, the Rav in particular, was adamant, was particularly vigilant about not amending or changing the matbeya of tefillah, the way it came from Chazal. You can't play with it, you can't toy with it, we don't adjust it. He says, no, the notion that there's no Beis HaMikdash, all of Yerushalayim is described as Chareva by the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. And in true Brisker faction, the Rav brought a raya from the Rambam. Hare la Rambam kedushas Yerushalayim kedushas Mikdash. Can move over Barambam Paris and Mishnayas Lamish Rosh Hashanah. Disnan Yantav Shah Rosh Hashanah Shachalios Bashabas Mikdash, a token of Aloba Medina. It says when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, you'd blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, but you would not blow shofar outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Harambam Pirish de Mikdash, Hainu Kol Yerushalayim. And the Rambam says, how do you define geographically the boundaries of Yerushalayim to determine where you do blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, as it will this year? And the Rambam describes Yerushalayim means, sorry, the Mikdash means all of Yerushalayim. The Chayne Barambam, Perik Beis and Shofar. V'lachayim Pasak HaRambam, Hechus Beis HaBechira, De Kedushas HaMikdash V'Yushalayim Eina B'Teila, Tehavim Nehashchina, V'Karvanasad Yushalayim Yichelek MehaMikdash, V'lachayim Kozman Shamikdash Chorov, Af Yushalayim Nechshevas Kechareva. So when we talk about Kedushas HaMikdash in Yushalayim, was not only for Shaita, but was lost in Lava, was Eina B'Teila, was never nullified, and that Kedusha of the Mikdash in Yushalayim remain in place, in force, it's because of the Shechina that finds itself on Har HaBayis in Beis HaMikdash, which means that Yerushalayim is an extension of the Mikdash. So therefore, when you talk about Yerushalayim as Chareva, Shomema, Avela, Blibaneha, what you're describing is Makom HaMikdash. It's not inaccurate even physically, because the physical definition of Yerushalayim emanates from the Makom HaMikdash, and if the Makom HaMikdash is absent, the Beis HaMikdash, then all of Yerushalayim is in fact negatively impacted and affected, and whatever it looks like on Emek Rifaim, or Ben Yehuda, or the Mall, or the Waldorf, but if Har HaBayis is absent of Beis HaMikdash, then Avela Chareva B'Zuya Shomema are perfect, apt adjectives. They are an accurate description. I'll just say as an aside, we mentioned last night in our Sunday night Smichas Chaver, not too late to join, but our Smichas Chaver shir, we mentioned last night two fascinating halachas that require a Sefer Torah, that if you're in Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim can take the place of a Sefer Torah. Namely, Tachanun. Normally, you only fall on your arm when you say Tachanun if there's a Sefer Torah. However, the post can bring down, Shlomo Zalman and others, that if you're in Yerushalayim, even if there's no Sefer Torah, you fall on your arm. Because what the Kedusha Sefer Torah provides that is the catalyst for Nefilas Sapayim, for falling on your arm, Yerushalayim can supplement in its place. The second halacha, according to some poskim, the Mishnah Berurah brings this, in order to say the Bracha Me'ein Sheva, Magen Avos, on Friday night, you need, how do you define a shul versus a ad hoc minyan? So you need it to be a minyan that meets regularly, and you need a Sefer Torah. So there too, the post can ring down that in Yerushalayim, even if you don't have a Sefer Torah, you would say Magen Avos, you'd say the Bracha Me'in Sheva, because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Yerushalayim, can take the place of, if you don't have the presence of a Sefer Torah. It's remarkable. It means just geographically being in Yerushalayim, you can observe these halachas that would normally otherwise require the presence of a Sefer Torah. Fascinating, fascinating. So where does that Kedusha of Yerushalayim come from? Where does that Kedusha of Yerushalayim come from that can take the place of the presence of a Sefer Torah? The answer is from the Rambam. It comes from Makom HaMikdash. It comes from Kedushas HaMikdash. And that Kedusha is Eina B'Teila. That's why there is controversy whether you can go on Har HaBayis today. If it were B'Teila, there would be no Kedusha on Har HaBayis. You can go play soccer up there. The whole reason is a question of who can go up, where you can go, can you go, why you go. The reason that all these questions even exist is because we assume that there is an ongoing Kedusha that continues until today. So it's the Kedusha that continues till today that charges, that energizes, that inspires, that informs the Kedusha of all of Yerushalayim. So therefore, the status of Mikdash is the status of Yerushalayim. So the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has no, the fact that the Makom HaMikdash has no Beis HaMikdash means that it's accurate for all Yerushalayim to describe it as Avela Chareva Bzuya and Shomema. That was the position of Rabbi Soloveitchik. His Talmud in Harei Kedem, Source 11, Rav Nachum Shurkin, brings down the following. With this we will finish this sugya for these 2 weeks. Kosav HaBeis Yosef Baruch Chaim Yerushalmi Kazvu HaRiva Rosh B'Sof Maseches Tanias V'Yizr Shlosom Heichan Omer L'Tfilas Nachim Omer Yer Kol Davar Shul Laba Omer Ba'avoda V'choshul Shavar Omer Ba'oda. Where do you insert Nachim? It's brought down. Where do you insert Nachim? The Beis Yosef brought it down. So one opinion is Koshul L'Haba, anything for the future you say in Avoda. Koshul Shavar, it's about the past, Omer Ba'oda. So Yala V'Yavo is Ya'le V'Yavo V'Yagia V'Yiroya. It's all about our longing to the future, what we hope, what we wish, what we want to return to. So that goes in Ritzei. Whereas Alanisim is all about the past. So that goes in Hoda. So where do you put Nachim? Because wa rifa rosh v'nagu amal l'memra b'bona Yerushalayim. You know where you insert it? Neither. Not for the future in Ritzei, not for the past in Hoda, where Alanisim is. Rather, according to the Rif and the Rosh, you put it in Bnei Yerushalayim. V'samach v'aha, v'gmar navara zara, d'amar av Yehuda bar Shmua, bar Shilas, b'shmed Rav, af ha pisha amru shol adam t'racha b'shamei tfila, in balomar b'sof kol bracha, me'in osa bracha omer. True general insertions go in Shema Koleinu. So when you're davening, let no one get corona, and let the simcha come off without a hitch, and let everything work out, and let someone, that goes in Shema Koleinu. There's no other place to put that in. But every other theme that fits within another bracha, you're allowed to put in the bracha. You're davening for someone who's sick, you put in Refainu. You're davening for your portfolio, you're davening for your finances, you put it in Baruch Aleinu. You're davening for justice that you want, you put Hashem HaShofteinu. You're allowed to insert into other brachas according to the theme of that bracha. So consistent with that, Nachim belongs in B'l Yerushalayim. It's our beer. But Plug says, Min Hagenu and Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi said, there's a disagreement. Where you put Nachim, how do you understand this machlokas with the Yerushalmi? V'nir levar, d'sharash ha-machlokas heichan amru, where to put Nachim at the core, at the root of this debate, is totally amah misablim mispalim b'tisha b'av. What exactly are we mourning and crying about? Hayim ikar ha-avelos v'atfilos heim al-churban ha-avoda ha-kadosha v'akapara. Is it the loss of the ability to have the avoda, the sanctity, the atonement that came about as a result of the avoda, the offering of the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash? So are we crying and are we mourning and are we grieving what's absent or missing in our life, which is the avoda, the Beis HaMikdash? Then the proper place to put it, to daven for it, of course, is in the paragraph of avoda, ritzei. Achlafim min hagenu ikar avelus b'tisha b'av hu lo achisar na avoda el al churban Yerushalayim v'amikdash. The fact that we insert it in V'l Yerushalayim reveals to us that the main thing that we're crying and mourning about is not the loss of Karbanos, but is about the desolation, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Akach she'er Rabasi im ha'isaka amana, ha'ir Rabasi am ha'isaka amana, alei armona asher nuto ha'shva alei kavar asher gola be'is churban dvera. V'nasis li'ir ha'bzuya v'achari v'vashom imam v'akein mekom asher nachim v'birchas b'nei Yerushalayim. So the machlokas of where to insert it is in fact a machlokas about what is the core that we're mourning about. What is the ikr thing that we are grieving over? That's number one. Number two, Sham Batur V'kasav Adoni Avi Arash Ko Yemei Tamati Lama In Omer Mosa Nachim Ela B'Tfilas HaMincha. You ever wonder why you only saying it in Mincha Nachim? Why don't you say it at Shacharis? Kevin the Kamrinu B'Yushalmi Yachab B'Tishab Av Tzorach L'Haskim Ena Ma'ura. I don't just mention Rosh Chodesh in Mincha. I don't just mention Chanukah in Purim in Mincha. I don't just mention Yantif or Shabbos in Mincha. Me'ein ha-ma'ura, I mention the theme of the day each time I daven. So why wouldn't I mention Tisha B'Av at each tefillah that I'm offering? Why do we only mention Tisha B'Av in the Amidah? Nachim is the Yala V'Yava or the Ritzei of Tisha B'Av. It's the Me'ein ha-ma'ura. It's when I'm mentioning the theme of the day. So every other time I mention the theme of a day, I mention it in every tefillah of the day. Why, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, am I only mentioning it specifically in Mincha? Did that ever bother any of you? Apparently not. But it bothered the Rosh. It bothered the Rosh. He wondered. Because of Beis Yosef, Beis Yosef quotes, Shehi machlokes ben Rav Amram v'Rabbeinu Sa'adya. among the two Gaonim, Rav Amram Gaon and Rav Sadi Gaon. In fact, according to one opinion, you should say it. Marav Shacharis Mincha. You should say Nachem, just like you say Yalav Yavo or Ritzei at every tefillah of Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, Yontif. So too you should say Nachem at every tefillah of Tisha B'Av. It's the main ma'ura of that Yontif, according to Rav Amram Gaon. But according to Rav Sadia Gaon, no, you only say it at Mincha. But the question is why? Right, saying Yalav Yavo, you say it everyone. Why Nachem does it only appear at Mincha? The nearly Shatam Rabbeinu Sadia Mishun Dlat Eis Erev Hitzisu Bo Eish.
So the
Beis
Yosef says that the core fire took place at the end of the day of Tisha B'Av. At the end of the day of Tisha B'Av, we know that most of it burnt down on the 10th of Av, yet it was set afire on the 9th of Av, and we fast on the 9th of Av. Why? With relief and gratitude that Hashem destroyed the sticks and the stones and not the people. That's one answer. There's another answer maybe I'll speak about on Tisha B'Av, about why we observe the 9th of Av if the main thing burned down, if the main burning took place in the 10th of Av. But the Beis Yosef says, since the fire really began close to Shkia, so that's why it's at Mincha that we say Nachem, and we reference Ha'ir Ha'Avela, Shamema, Bzuya, V'chule. That's the Beis Yosef. However, V'abir near Lashitas Rav Sadia Gaon, Amiris Nachem, Ena Din Shal Me'ena Ma'ura, K'mo Shenakar Arash, B'kosh Yosef, Apila L'shana Yushalmi. So said Rabbi Soloveitchik here in Harei Kedem that there's another answer. The reason we're only saying it at Mincha is because there was a mistake in the assumption of the question. The question was, we always mention Me'ena Ma'ura and all the tefillos in Marav Shacharis and Mincha. So Yalav Yavo Ritzei, we mention it in every tefillah. Why Nachem? If it's Me'ena Ma'ura, if it's the theme of Tisha B'Av, if we're mentioning Tisha B'Av in the Amida through Nachem, we should say it at every tefillah. Says the Rav, you made a mistake in your assumption. Who says Nachem is Me'ena Ma'ura? The only time you mention Me'ena Ma'ura, the only time that you insert something extra in the Amidah to reflect the theme of the day is when there's a Kedusha Sayom, when there's an additional layer of sanctity to the day. How do you know when there's extra sanctity to the day? What is the metric or measure to know there's extra sanctity to the day? Take a look and check whether you have a Korban Musaf. The presence of the Korban Musaf reflects there's a Kedusha Sayom. So even Rosh Chodesh, which is a quasi-yantif, has a Korban Musaf. That's what makes it the quasi-yantif. And therefore you say Yalav Yavo to reference Rosh Chodesh. But Tisha B'Av has no Korban Musaf. Tisha B'Av has no Kedusha Sayom. And Tisha B'Av therefore has no Me'ina Ma'ura. So what is Nachem if it's not Me'ina Ma'ura? If Nachem is not reflecting, representing the theme of the day, then what is it? Elu kiyum shal nicham aveilim. Ke'inyan tefilas hamakum yanachem bebeis ha'avel. Pshh. A whole new understanding of Nachem. Nachem is not what the Beis Yosef said, we're at the lowest part of the day where the fire is about to be set, and therefore this is the time that we most reflect on how Yerushalayim is in ruins. And Nachem is not a question of Me'ena Ma'ura, why are we mentioning it earlier? It's not simply referencing today is, in today's brought to you by Tisha B'Av. But rather, said the Rav, Nachem is a kiyum, a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Nicham Aveilim. Just like when you go comfort the mourner, the bereaved, before you take leave, at least Ashkenazim, we say, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, may you be comforted among the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem. Ula Bakashas Nachama Sagi Bepamachas Betisha B'Av. V'lachem Bochran says, Man, Ashafal B'Yosek, She'ola Zichron Abayis, Hanisra Be'esh, V'shifl Yisraim Ve'Valea, Zeru Azman, Achi Ru'i L'Nachama. So when is the time that you should most give the Nachama? When there is the greatest level of pain or most profound grief. I could have answered also that when do you offer the Nachama? You don't, when you walk in, say, Amakam Yenachem Eschem. When do you say Amakam Yenachem Eschem? On your way out. Mincha is on our way out of Tisha B'Av. So it's at Mincha, on the way out of Tisha B'Av, that you say Nachem, which is the collective yearning and longing to offer Nechama to one another. This is the collective Amakam Yenachem Eschem to one another. So it's a whole new understanding of Nachem. The Nachem is not Me'ina Ma'ura, it's not simply reflecting our acknowledgement of the theme of the day. And Nachem is not Kedushas Hayom, there is no Kedushas Hayom or Korban Musaf of the day. And Nachem is not just said there because it's the lowest point of the day. Nachem is a fulfillment of Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. Just the role of Hamakom Yenachem in a Beis Avel, that is the role of Nachem for all of Klal Yisrael who are inserting it and saying it in Mincha. And he has one last piece here in Harei Kedem. You can look it on your own. So we've seen over these 2 weeks this question, should Nachem be amended? Does Nachem reflect properly still what Tisha B'Av, what Yerushalayim looks like today? Yerushalayim is robust and built and expanding in every direction. And Nachem's description doesn't match what we see with our own eyes. So much so there were those who said, amend it with one word, Shahaisa, that it used to look like that. However, Rav Avadya was adamant, how dare you touch it? Rabbi Soloveitchik was adamant, how dare you touch it? And maybe doesn't conform with the physical reality, it very much still conforms with the metaphysical reality we still suffer from, that there remain ignorance and a lack of observance, there remain a corruption of our values, even in Yerushalayim, there remain on Har HaBayis, desecration, disrespect, an absence of a Beis HaMikdash, and all of that is metaphysically what Nachum is still describing, and therefore we leave it as is, we don't amend it whatsoever, and then we saw what Nachum is really all about. It is the tefillah of Nechama. And so I offer each of you and each of us, as we go into our Ben Azmanim doesn't mean that you don't have to learn, it just means that we're not having the Shiurim together, but during this Ben Azmanim we should continue to learn, we should continue to grow, most of all we should continue to be Zoche. We should continue to merit, hopefully, a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The next Zman of our Kola should take place in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, B'mheira V'yameinu. Hey.